Thank you, Lord God, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. In this wonderful, rich presence of the power of the Holy Spirit, would you please welcome Brother Kenneth Copeland.
Amen. Thank you, Lynn. Thanks, buddy. Praise God. Oh, let's just praise His name. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just lift your voice and sing in the Spirit. Just sing praises, sing songs of love, and bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Sola clara mandola la che fipile le menino ca. Clamo langhe clero frando stulo. Salamolo, jote che lamna. Sola banangrendo lo sopro. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we praise you this morning. We give you worship. We rejoice in your presence. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I was reminded yesterday, in fact, one of Gloria and my very, very, very close friends reminded us of something that Brother Kenneth Hagin said. He said, when your praise life catches up with your prayer life, that's when you get results. Amen. Thanks, Veronica, for reminding us of that. When your praise life catches up with your prayer life, that's when you get results. Well, and you can readily see why, particularly studying the Word. It's the Word that makes the transfer. That's what causes us to receive all of the different spiritual mechanisms that are involved in all that. There's a lot of things involved. Three major forces are involved: faith, hope, and love. And all of these things are working like a well-oiled spiritual machine. And when the thing is working right, whoa! When all the gifts of this, all the fruit of the Spirit is working right, the Word says against such there is no law. There is no law that can overwhelm those forces. Amen. Well, you stand on the Word, you receive from the Word goes into action. Well, then when praise comes in, praise is the spiritual moisture on the seed of the Word. Praise is the big gun of faith. You check your scriptures, just get your concordance, look up faith, look up all the different scriptures and all the different things. And when you find people unashamedly praising God after they've stood on the Word, devil, you better look out. Man, when they start praising, that's when they mount the big guns right then. It goes all the way to the throne of God. And God said, I inhabit that. I inhabit that. I come live in that. Hallelujah. Well, lift your hand, lift your voice, and give God a worship and a blessing this morning. Bless Him. Bless Him in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you just love these conventions? Don't you just love all of us get together and come into a place like this and praise God? Greet several people this morning. Bless them with a big smile. Tell them you love them in the Lord. Turn to your wife and say, "Sweetheart, I'm sorry I was such a prune this morning." Amen. Men are supposed to take the blame for everything. That settles all the household. Amen. You may be seated. Now, you guys didn't hear what I was saying. Some of you heard it and act like you didn't hear it. I know all the tricks. I've been there. Amen. You know, Jesus said there's two times when you should go and settle the issue of forgiveness. One is when you got against something against somebody, and the other is when they got somebody got something against you. You go do it. You don't wait for them to do it. You go do it. Well, I began to apply that at home, because it's my fault most time anyway. So I began to apply it at home. And I had the Lord begin to talk to me about it. He said that this really should be a man's role at home. You're the keeper of the peace. Then, I mean, you ought to repent all the time. Amen. Instead of, you know, walking around with your lips stuck out. All of our staff, Kay, at Kenneth Cole Ministries here this morning, would all you guys stand up, please, and let everybody see how beautiful you are. Praise the Lord. They're all around in different areas. Amen. My, how we do love you. Praise God. Y'all so pretty this morning. You look so good, man. You can be seated. Praise God. Amen. And there's still a lot of them, you know, that are busy taking care of ministry and business this morning. Praise God. I guarantee you one thing. We've got the best staff and the best partners of any ministry on the face of this earth. Amen. Hallelujah. Something I want to share with you here. Anytime there is any kind of disaster, particularly something that just hits suddenly, like that bridge collapse up in Minneapolis, we immediately go to our records and we start searching and researching our records to see if we have partners in that area, and most of the time we do. And this is not the end report, because there's still some things going on there. But this is on that initial calling to people there in Minneapolis, our partners up there. This is so far as of the August the 3rd. 93 successful calls, no injuries to immediate families or anyone they know. That's to our partners, see. There were 93 successful calls. In other words, that's where the contact was made and they had conversation about it. And 140 left messages, 12 no answer, 23 that the numbers were not good anymore, 19 line busies, try again tonight, 3 hung up, 2 unavailable. Now, don't be so quick on the gun to just hang up thinking somebody's going to try to sell you something. Stay on there long enough to hear Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Now, when you hear that, if it came from us, they ain't going to sell you anything. And we're not there to get something off of you. We're there to try to help get something to you. So, now, well, this... Oh, this one is just, this girl just cried because we cared enough to call. Well, good, wonderful. Praise the Lord. And this person now was on the bridge at 3:30, and the bridge collapsed at 6. This one explained that her granddaughter always comes home that way. She went a different way that day. This partner stated that his son was close to the area, but he didn't get involved. This one said her daughter's dinner plans were canceled at the last moment. This kept her from being on the bridge at the time of the incident. And she gives glory to God for the cancellation of that dinner appointment. This partner said he was... He said, I've been waiting for this call. I knew you guys were going to call. he just tickled to get to talk to somebody from the ministry. He said, I knew y'all was going to call anyway. So he said, I was waiting to hear the phone ring. Don't you love that? We had one partner said his wife was scheduled for an appointment. Her office is just on the other side of the bridge. She decided to go to church instead. One of the calls that stands out in my not on this incident but another one stands out in my mind so vivid as a high place for me over the years. We're pressing and have been for a number of years to have the equipment and have the personnel and come to a place where we personally call every partner we have at least once in a year. And this is a big task, and we get closer every day. But anyway, they called this person, and she was whispering on the phone. She said, I can't talk very loud. My husband will hear me, and he don't like this kind of stuff. She said, really? Yeah, he said, he said. And all of a sudden, they said, you could hear from the background, who is it? She said, huh? He said, who is it on the phone? She said, it's somebody from Brother Copeland's ministry. That TV preacher? Yeah. Somebody from his ministry? Yeah. What do they want? Well, they want to know if there's anything we want to pray about. Yeah, tell them I want to get saved. She said, you what? He said, I want to get saved. I've been thinking about this. I want to get saved. Tell them to pray. And you know the rest of the story. You can figure out the rest of it. And there was another big one in my mind was a wrong number. And this happens a lot, but this particular one stuck in my thinking. And it was, they'd call and said, well, no, you know, it's the wrong number. Well, and then our prime minister said, well, you know, I don't believe there's any such thing as a wrong number in the Spirit of God. I believe we got this number because the Lord led it this way. And I'd be glad to pray with you for anything that you need prayer for. And they said, really? Yeah, we'll pray. Got the whole household born again on a wrong number. Amen. I'll tell you, if you can find anything more exciting than a Holy Ghost ministry, I'd like to know what it is. Dear God. Hallelujah. Amen. Bring your Bible with you today. There are some things that I want to share with you today. In the way of just practical experience, and the Lord has been really ministering to us all week long. I've noticed it I've listened to just about all the sessions. I've listened to all the sessions. Some of them I had to break into a couple of times. But everybody has been flowing towards this is what you have to do for faith to work in your life. There's process involved here. Well, some of the things that I want to share with you this morning down that line. Let's look at John chapter 1 once again. The first thing, absolutely, completely, totally necessary before you'll ever have any kind of successful life. If you don't have a successful spiritual life in Christ Jesus, then you ain't got a successful life. I don't care what else you're doing. No such thing as a successful life outside of Him. There's no such thing as blessing humanity outside of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Well, now you see, but Brother Copeland, now God could be blessing somebody over here outside, you know, of Jesus. I beg your pardon. What you're telling me is that God sent Jesus to the cross, but that's not necessary. I mean, he could have blessed us without Him. I ain't going to ride that donkey now. You can just park him somewhere else. Come on. I ain't going for that. Come on. No. The kind of blessing that God has through, in and through Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Yeshua HaMashiach of Nazareth, cannot be obtained any other way. No. There is a level of God's will. His perfect will for all men for all time was be fruitful, multiply, fill up the earth, subdue it, have dominion over it. That is His will. First thing He ever said to a human being had to be His perfect will. Well, then now, Jesus Christ of Nazareth is God's perfect will for all men for all time. Now then, let's read this once more here. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, the same. In the beginning with God, all things were made by Him, by God, by the Word. Without Him, without God, and without the Word, was not anything made that was made. Anything. No thing. Nothing. No thing was made without Him. No thing was made without the Word. Amen. Nothing. Amen. Now, we found out in our study this week that God is light. We're talking about the energy, the light energy of His glory. Amen. We found out God is love. We found out God is life. There's no life outside of Him.
That's right. Amen.
So, you could come down through there, and each one of those words would properly fit. In fact, this is a study you really need to do. It'll take you some time. I always start with the New Testament. And just read through the New Testament, and everywhere it uses the word God, go back and read that verse of Scripture and replace the word God with light. Replace it with love. Replace it with life. And replace it with Word. Now, you can do the same thing when it talks about the Spirit of God. I'll give you an example of that in Romans chapter 8. Therefore, there is no condemnation to those who walk in the Spirit, those that walk not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Now, this will really open this up to you. Because there are a lot of different ideas about what in the Spirit means. And you get over into all kinds of spooky stuff. Well, now, you, long as you got that gold necklace around your neck, you can't be in the Spirit. Bull. I don't have much time this morning. I just need to cut short. You know, that's just bull. That's all that is. Amen. I don't have nothing to do with being in the Spirit.
Come on, man.
What you just said was in the flesh.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, studies like this will open that up. Now, you can't just go dreaming up something and start substituting words. You have to have scriptural authority to do that. But we found more than one scripture in each one of these things, so it gives us, let the Bible interpret itself. You don't need a lot of theological high-priced help to help you misunderstand the Bible. You realize what I'm saying? Let the Bible interpret itself. And go back over there now in Romans 8:2 and look at it like this. Therefore, there is no condemnation to them who walk not after the five physical senses. That defined the flesh for us. The five physical sense gates is the natural world, natural physical material world. But after the Word. And I began to study that. And I saw, well, now, to those, there is now no condemnation to those who walk not after their five physical senses. That means they're not led by their five physical senses. Well, does that hold up? Well, the Bible said Abraham considered not his own body now dead, but only that which God had said. I mean, that holds right in there, doesn't it? So, after the leadership of their five physical senses, but after the Word. Then I went back and I read it like this. Who walk not after their five physical senses, but after the light. Huh? That'll work, won't it? Won't walk after the five physical senses, but walk after love. Man, that'll put your flesh down. Amen. Who walk after life. So see, you go through the New Testament and make a study out of that. And then you can go back through the Old Covenant and do the same thing. And when you get a Bible concordance, the easiest one I think is Young's. I'm not in concordance business. I don't get a dime out of it. I don't care really what kind of concordance you buy. But it's easy to find the words and the definitions behind the words that were translated such and such in the King James Bible. So you go back through there and you find out, well, this is the name that was translated God. And you find all of those. And then it'll have God again. And it'll have a different name that was translated God. And you'll have all of those. And then he'll be God again. And it'll have another a Hebrew word that was translated God. And then you have all that list there. And there's all those different names. Well, there's a good study avenue. Now you can go to your sources and find out what each one of those names means in Hebrew. And it's telling you something about God's very nature, the way he thinks. Amen. So all of this is not only very eye-opening, but all the time you're doing this, you are feeding your spirit with his living word. And this is what we're after. Now, this word must, this written word, the integrity of it, your honor and respect of it. I'm not talking about phony respect and phony honor. Oh, that's the Bible. I wouldn't want a mark in that. Well, if you got one that's so precious you can't mark in it, put it in a glass case and go put it up somewhere in a museum and go out there and get one of these that you can write in. Amen. Wear it out. That's and right. Get you another one. Buy you a couple of spares and have them on hand. Wear them plumb down till the pages start falling out of them. The last one that I had to put aside, the only reason I put it aside, I didn't want to do it, but the only reason I put it aside, I'd made so many notes on some of those pages. I got to where I was having a hard time reading the notes and the page and everything too. And I thought, I can't make any more notes on that page. And I got another idea. Where am I going to put it? You can't do that without feeding your spirit.
That's right.
You are a spirit.
Yeah.
You have a soul and you live in a body. God's process now, his way of doing this, he has provided the food, but you're a free moral agent. And you have to make the decision, and he'll hold you responsible for what you eat. Spiritually, there's spiritual food. Your spirit has to be fed just the same as your mind and your body does. There's spiritual food. And when you feed on proper spiritual food, you can feed any kind of trash in there.
That's right.
Trash
That's
in,
right.
trash out.
Yes, sir.
But now, the proper spiritual food on the Word of God will produce spiritual forces. The same way as feeding on physical food produces physical strength. This is a process. And it works. It works because it's the law and will of God. He's the one set it in motion. And when you feed your body properly, you don't have any right to just put any kind of junk in that body you want to just because it tastes good. Or looks good or smells some way or another that you want it to smell. I know you don't like to hear me talk about this, but I'm going to keep talking about it till you either get it or get out, one or two. God gets on me, I get on you. I keep telling you that's the name of this game now. That's my job. That's what God pays me to do. And I do it with glee. Amen. Now, there is mental food that affects your will, your emotions, and the functioning of your mind. Now, there's a process right here that goes on that without these things being in place, it gets messed up because proper physical food and care affects your brain. The brain is a physical organ. Proper mental food affects your soul, which is made up of your will, your mind, and your emotions. But now you can be properly feeding your mind, your will, and your emotions on the Word and improperly feeding your body and your brain not functioning right and your mind doesn't have anything to use to express itself in the earth. You be sitting over in a corner, they think you got Alzheimer's and they can't figure out what's the matter with you. They think you've lost your mind and you're sitting over there trying to holler at them and can't. Your mind's functioning fine, working fine. You're sitting over, you recognize everybody in the room, but every time you try to say something to them, it comes out. Why? Because your brain's screwed up. And people say, he lost his mind. He lost his mind. His brain ain't working. The thoughts, things are not working, right? He's got a bunch of contamination in his brain. He doesn't need a bunch of drugs. He needs somebody to take him somewhere and flush this body out and get some nutrition in it where his brain work right. And then your mind can express itself. There's a lot of things that begin to take place that didn't take a miracle at all. Now, that brings me up to what the Lord has laid on my heart to share with you today. This all gets into very practical operation. I can illustrate this. First, let me make this statement to you because I don't want to get all excited and get running off and run by this and not do it. First of all, the Word has to become final authority in your life.
Amen.
It has to become final authority. It's not a book of arguments. It's not so you can argue with yourself and fight with yourself over it. And it's not so you can go argue with some other body about it and what they think about it. This is a book where you take time to meditate and to spend time with the Lord. When you spend time in this Word, you're spending time with God. And not just studying it, but meditating on it and feeding on it, feeding your spirit, feeding your mind on it. And the word, God told Joshua, you meditate in my word day and night, and then you will observe. You will be able to see into what to do. That's what he told him. You meditate in my word day and night, and you will observe how to be prosperous, and you'll make your way prosperous. See? Now, he could have told him to fast, which would have been good. He could have told him, you know, confession of the word. That would have been good. But if you meditate on the word, then you find out when and how to fast and what to say when you confess. See, that's the way you find out about confessing and fasting and prayer and all the rest of these things. Now, the other statement I want to make to you before we get over into this specific area is make that word priority one, first place in your life. This is final authority. If I think one thing and I find something else in here, then this is right. This is right. So that I remember I checked into flight school a number of years ago, initial training on the Lockheed Jetstar, and this is my first day in ground school on that airplane. I didn't know how to open my door on that airplane, man. I mean, we were starting from scratch and to get type rating in this particular airplane. And the instructor stood up 8 o'clock in the morning, first class. Had a great big fat book about that thick. And it had Lockheed written across the Lockheed. And identified it as the aircraft flight manual to the Lockheed Jetstar. And he said, now, any information that you hear from me or anything you read or hear in any of these classrooms in any form that does not agree with this book, then this book is right and that stuff is wrong. I thought, I wish preachers had that much sense to go by what the manufacturer said about it. Huh? Now, I made this statement there. So you put the word first place in your life. You settle this. There's certain things that you need to settle in your life. You need to go back and take some prayer time and settle some things. Once you settle something, the devil knows that there ain't no use in him bringing it up. He may try to bring it up a couple of times, but he gets slapped in the face with it, and he has to go back and redo his thinking and come at you with some other thing. It always worked in the past, but now something's changed, so he got to change his tactics a little bit and settle some things. I remember when Gloria and I settled it forever that our children were not going to hell. And we got all the Bible scriptures concerning your children, and we took communion, and we settled it forever. No, that's unacceptable. Our children are not going to hell. Yeah, but Brother Copeland, what if they choose to go? I don't care if they do. They ain't going.
That's right.
Like John told little Alex, I'm the boss. No, you understand what I mean. Of course they have a right to violate all that if they desire, but when you stay before the Lord and you do this thing right, they don't desire that.
Hallelujah.
It changes things. See. I settled it forever that I am a preacher of the gospel. I'm not a pilot that preaches. I am not a singer that preaches. I'm not anything that preaches. I am a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes,
and I sing and I fly airplanes and I do these other things. But I settle that forever. That is my calling and I'll live and die. That's what I am. That's what I'm responsible for.
Yes, sir.
And so forth and so on. And there's something. I don't ever pray about that anymore. That's not part of my prayer life. That's settled forever. I mean, that's in the drawer somewhere. You understand? That's just it. So the devil don't even bring it up. Try to talk me out of being a prayer. Why don't you quit this ministry and go back to flying airplanes? Why don't you go jump off of the next cliff you find and just laugh at him? Ha!
Yeah.
For me to become president of the United States would be a cut in pay. Certainly be a cut in influence and authority. Well, that's the most powerful officer in the world. No, it isn't. Jesus holds the most powerful office in the world, and I represent him in the world. But see, that's settled in my mind. I mean, you know, you see him bringing that up to me. In fact, I'll get in your face if you bring it up twice. So, now then, we settled that point of it. Now, I want to get over into this. I questioned the Lord extensively. This will help those of you, particularly in the ministry. I questioned the Lord. I was at this time, I was second in command on the Oral Roberts Evangelistic Association airplane, and I was in all those meetings. Most of you have heard that story. And one of the staff members came to me, tears running down her face. And she was in publications, and they had been going back in areas where Brother Roberts had been, you know, months ago or a year or two ago, and had meetings there, and they were following up and with testimonies about people, you know, and their healings and all this kind of thing. And she came in there, tears running down her face, and she said, "Kenneth, we need to pray. We got to pray." I said, "What's the matter with you?" She said, "God's taken his hand off of Oral Roberts." I said, "What? God's taken his hand off of Brother Roberts." She wasn't trying to be critical. She just was upset that he'd lost his anointing. I said, how come you know that?" She said, "We've been going back and following up." And she said, "There's people out there that got healed, and they're not healed anymore. For some reason or other, God has taken his hand off of them, and they ain't healed him, and they lost their healing." I said, "Well, the first thing that just jumped out of my mouth, I said, let me ask you this. Did Oral heal him?" She said, "No." I said, "Well, what does it have to do with him?" "Well, I don't know, but we need to pray." Well, I didn't know the answer to it either. Now, I felt like I knew how to get the answer. Amen. And that wasn't it. Amen. So I started studying about it and got into the Word concerning it. And this came up in me last night after the service. Wasn't that a great service last night? Oh, Lord, my goodness. My. But in praying and just worshiping God and praising God for all the marvelous things that happened in their last night, miraculous things that played. And the Lord reminded me of some of these things. And in the process of time, I began to, and different information that the Lord had gotten to me from Brother Hagin and different ones and from Brother Roberts and studying the Word and so forth. And I had come up to the place and I was just praising and worshiping the Lord and thanking him because I went to him for his wisdom by faith. So I'm thanking him for the wisdom of God. I just want to thank you for your wisdom. The Word said, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. He, you know, man that wavered, don't let him think he's going to receive anything from the Lord. Well, I was praising God and taking care of that aspect of it. And suddenly the word of the Lord came to me. He said, "You ask me about people that had lost their healings." I said, "Yes, sir, I did." The question was, have I taken my hand off of Oral Roberts? He said the answer to both is this: the same unbelief that got you sick in the first place will get you that way again.
Come on.
Well, now, first, that sounds like an insult. You mean unbelief got me sick in the first place? Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Is it a big shock to you that you ever had any doubt or that you ever had any fear? Oh, which of you in here is sinless? You stick your hand up and I'll cast a lying demon out of you. Amen. Yeah, you understand where I'm going with this. And when the Lord said that to me, I thought, well, yeah, dummy, where you been? I mean, you know, I know good and well that happened to me. Well, you get into a spiritual atmosphere like we had in here last night. I mean, somebody walking off the street and bang into this thing. You can get delivered from everything from ingrown toenails to leprosy, man. You walk into a place supercharged with the power of God. And I've seen that happen. That happened a lot in those type meetings that Oral Roberts and others in those kind of callings were experiencing. And somebody come in there and the power of God hit them, and that sickness and disease left, and the power of God moved in their life and in their body. And then, you know, a few weeks later, they went back to the same old stuff they'd always been doing, saying the same old thing, doing the same old thing. Their Bible, you know, is in there under the bed somewhere, ain't got a clue where it is. I had a woman call one time. Oh, Brother Copeland, you remember when you laid hands on me and God healed me of that old cancer? I said, oh, yeah, I do. And she reminded me of where it was. I remembered it well. I knew her. I knew who she was. And she said, oh, Brother Copeland, you need to pray. Now, this has been several years gone by. Brother Copeland, you need to pray. Oh, Brother Copeland, pray. I said, why? This thing's come back on me. She said, I'm in terrible condition. Sure, I said, we'll get rid of it, praise the Lord. I said, we're on the phone, see. I said, get your Bible and open it. I could hear her. She didn't quite cover up the mouthpiece of the phone. Where's my Bible? I knew right then what the problem was.
Yeah.
Sicker she got, the less. She lay up there and watched television and them dumb soap operas, you know, as the stomach turns or whatever it is. Yeah. Lay there and watch General Hospital, ER.
Yeah.
That's really what you need to be feeding on is blood and guts in an emergency room situation. Now, That's just a true principle. The funny thing of it is, when you're guilty of it is when you're the most touchy about it. Oh, you get touchy. How have you to know? I've studied the word just as much as you or anybody else. No, you don't. So don't even say that. Amen. See, don't try to be self-protective, particularly when the Word of God's concerned. I mean, it'd do you better just to repent and get over it. That's Gloria's favorite word. Get over it. She got in my face one day. She said, takes the same amount of time to be in faith as it does to be in unbelief. And it does to be in unbelief to be in faith. Now get out of the unbelief and get over in faith and get over this mess. And that's all the counseling you're going to get from her. That's about like Jesse's counseling, isn't it? Well, it has the same impact, you know. Now, I want to get over here and deal with our choices. When we realize that we are the responsible party here, God has done His. He was responsible for this thing, and He took care of business. Now, we are the responsible party. And the sooner we come on and just, you know, just get some grit between your teeth and just get on up and face it and get in your own face and judge yourself instead of, I didn't say condemn yourself, I said judge yourself. I had to learn how to do that by painting that picture, literally imagining myself, fix an imagination in my mind. And I saw myself with my Bible in my hand and I walked up in front of the judge. And when I looked, it was me. Doesn't the word say judge yourself and you not be judged with the world? And I walked up there and I said, judge, sir, I am guilty. And I called the thing out loud. I said, I'm guilty of that sin and I repent of it in the name of Jesus. I repent before the Lord Jesus Christ. I confess that sin, and this word, sir, says that he is faithful and just to forgive me of that sin when I confess it. So this moment, I release my faith in his word, my faith in his faithfulness. My feelings don't have anything to do with it. And then I saw myself sitting on that bench, and I said, case dismissed. You're free to go. Amen. Well, a few minutes later, I started feeling bad about it. You started getting grieved because of what you did and all that. Well, that's an insult to the throne of grace. Amen. Now, that's when you need to get in your own face. No. Those are symptoms in my flesh that are left over from that violation of God's word, whatever it was. And I refuse to touch that. I refuse to touch that guilt. That grief and guilt is not mine. In the name of Jesus, I have legal heavenly documents here that say he has not only forgiven me, but cleansed me from all unrighteousness. Now I cast you down, you imagination of sin. You imagine, I am an innocent man. I am washed in the blood. I got a good friend that got a hold of this in prison. And he started walking around saying, I'm an innocent man. Well, everybody in there claimed they're innocent, but, you know, some of them do it, you know, with a smile on their face. But he knew he's guilty as dirt. And he said, yeah, I did that, but I'm an innocent man. Well, they didn't know what he's talking about. And he said, I'm getting out. I'm innocent and I'm getting out. Innocent people don't belong in here. And they kind of laughed at him. They said, hey, do you realize that they'd have to change the laws of the state of Minnesota for you to be even eligible for parole any less than the next 3 years? You ain't even going to be eligible, much less you ain't going to make it on the time that you are stuck in here for 3+. No, he said, I'm innocent. I don't belong in here. Oh, they got mad. Some of the cons just want to kill him. And the officers laugh at him. And he didn't care. He didn't pay attention to them. He just went around saying, I'm innocent. I stand. What do you mean you're innocent? What is your plea? I plead the blood. I'm innocent, man. Do you know it came out, big article in the newspaper. There was came out, made the news. The legislator had a special session of the legislature at legislation. They had a meeting. And they got together and they changed that law, which made him eligible for parole. And he was out of there. I've forgotten what it was. It was less than a year. He was gone. Huh? See, this has authority. This word has authority. Now, let me give you an illustration here. We've got other things we need to get into. But this word is primary. If you're going to change anything, it's going to be by the word. Now, we had miraculous things that happened last night. Marvelous thing. Well, that was your springing off place. Write last night's date down. Write the time down. Oh, praise God, that's my hour. That is the moment when I released my faith. And Brother Seville and Brother Copeland and that whole congregation in the last night. Oh, glory to God. That's my hour. That's my day. And the scripture you're standing on, write the date and the hour right out there. Buy it and look at it every day. Look at it every day. And the devil comes around and starts trying to bring symptoms back in you. Start trying to get you depressed again. Starts trying to get it on you again, just jump up and holler at him just as loud as you can. No! Bless God! Look! Feed that word to him. When you do that, it becomes a sword. Sharper. Didn't say it's just a sword. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. It becomes a weapon when you do that. And then feed on it. Feed on it. Feed on your deliverance. Feed on it. Create faith. Create joy. Create righteousness. See, the Word is all these things. And as you do that, it manifests. Now, let me settle something here for you. When you feed on the Word concerning faith, you feed your spirit, then you produce spiritual forces. Jesus said those things that are spirit are spirit, those things that are flesh are flesh. Well, you can also deduct from that those things that are mental are mental. Now, they all work together, but you don't find them crossing fields. So as you properly feed the Word, my words are spirit and they are life. As you properly feed your spirit with the Word of God, it becomes the Word of light, the Word of life, the Word of love, the Word of righteousness. It becomes the Word of healing, the Word of salvation, the Word of deliverance. It becomes the Word of joy, the Word of peace, the love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness, kindness, temperance, all of these things. This is produced by this Word. This is your prosperity. This is the seed to the removal of debt. This is the seed of... God has given you the power to get wealth. Well, the blessing is that power. But this is what releases the blessing. This is the key to the blessing door. Not blessings, the blessing. Which is all of these things. Now, I'm feeding on spiritual food. I get spiritual strength. And we just named those spiritual forces and strength. I'm feeding my mind, first of all, on the Word. And I study and I work according to what God has instructed me to do and in His Word and so forth. Now that strengthens my mind, my emotions, and my will. It produces a strength, a steadiness called will power. That is not supernatural power. It is will power. You renew your mind and then you're in position to prove the perfect will of God. That's what Scripture says. But now what about your body? You're just as responsible where your body's concerned as you are where your spirit and your mind are concerned. Because your spirit and your mind depend heavily on your body and its condition for you to minister in this earth. Amen? Amen. Now, there are 15,000 different chemicals that are added to the American food chain that alter the food that you generally buy in the grocery store. There are other nations in the world where that'll get you a jail sentence if you alter their food supply. And you go find a country that's like that and look at their population. They're not obese. And they eat, eat, eat. Now, thank God in this country now you can buy the right kind of food. You have to work at it. Somebody said, yeah, but it costs so much money. Don't come at me with that argument, chubby. I done been that fat route. I was fat when I was 4. You understand? I made all them arguments. I know all of them. And that old dog ain't gonna hunt. So don't even come bring that to me. The truth of the matter is, when you do switch over on what's called organic, you're eating real food grown correctly and properly, doesn't have any chemicals in it, then your body is well nourished and well fed. Yeah, it's more expensive, but the good stuff is always more expensive than trash. But the thing of it is, you don't eat as much of it. Your body's satisfied, and it tastes good. An apple actually tastes like an apple again. Can you imagine that? What a big deal. A strawberry that tastes like a strawberry. Instead of like a, well. Now, there's no healing. Listen to me now. that God has instructed me to straighten this out for you. There is no healing in that food. Divine healing is in the Word. Okay? There are people that get to where they worship food and they can just heal anything. No, there's no healing in it. Let me tell you what the process is, though, and how it works and why sometimes it seems like there's healing in it. If I took my 2007 SUV and I bring it over here to my favorite mechanic and I say, "Hey, you don't have to look at my car, man. I ain't running like a dog. That's a brand new car. It's bad." And he takes it in there and checks it out. Comes back out there with a smile on his face. He said, "Kenneth, where are you buying that pink-looking gas?" "What are you going to talk ugly about my pink gas, man? What's wrong with that gas?" That's what's wrong with your car. That gas ain't no good. It's got an octane of about 40. And this thing won't run on that kind of gas. That's the reason it's running so good. I flushed out the tank and I put the proper fuel in there. I get in and boy, it just drives great. I think, boy, it does drive nice, doesn't it? But I sure do like that pink gas. Besides that, it's cheap. It smells good too. And after a while, I just gotta smell me some of that pink gas. Little bit ain't gonna hurt it. I run by there and squirt me some more pink gas, and then my car started running bad again. Well, now I know what's wrong with it, and it just runs terrible and bad. Well, I can put up a little bit, you know. I don't really need to be driving all that fast anyway. I just like that pink gas, man. I mean, I still smell so good when I'm squirting in a tank. Boy, that's nice. I like that pink gas. My car run pink gas on 512. Then after a while, it just starts loading up and trying to die, and it's missing and banging and clattering, and you think, "There's got to be something wrong with this car. I ain't taking it back over to him. I know what he's going to say. He's going to tell me I got to get off this pink gas. So I'm going to take it over here to this mechanic." He comes out that big smile on his face. "I got just the thing, Bubba." Yeah. "I got just the answer for you. Purple conditioner. It's only $300 a bottle." Come on. "Yeah. It will bring the proper rhythm back to your distributor." Oh, I like him. I got my pink gas and my car running good. But after a while, something else happening to my car. And I'll take it back over to him. "Well, see, that's a side effect off of the purple stuff. But don't worry about it, because I got some red stuff. You wait till you get the Red Bull in your car. This is only $500 a bottle. It offsets the $300 bottle stuff. And you can keep your pink gas, man. Only this time when I put it in there, I set my tailpipe on fire." "It's destroying my car. So what am I going to do next?" "Oh, they're having a car hand laying on service out at the church. They're praying for cars. Whoa, I'm going to take my car." "Oh, brother Jerry. Oh, brother Jerry, come lay hands on my car. Oh, brother Jerry, come lay hands on my car. Brother, I burned a hole in my tailpipe, blowed the mufflers off of it. My distributor's messed up and it don't run good anymore. Oh," he says, "you still putting that pink gas in? Don't talk to me about my gas. Put my pink gas in there. Take my gas dope with me. Red bottle and the blue bottle." "I ain't going to vote for no senator that won't have Medicare pay for the stuff that goes in my car. You laugh. That's what we've done with this precious commodity called your physical body. Now, see, when I was back here, all I had to do was what this honest man told me to do. You get the trash out of that gas tank, don't put it in there anymore. I kept putting it in there until it damaged my car. And now, getting rid of the pink gas won't fix it. I'm going to finally get honest, bring it back over here to him, and he's going to go in there and take all them old wore-out parts, that blowed-out tailpipe and all of that, and get rid of that. And now I'm going to go to Brother Jerry, and we're going to pray. And I finally got this thing back up. I ain't putting no more of that pink gas in there. Praise God. I'm taking it. The God gave me this car, and I'm going to take care of it. And I got a new tailpipe. Praise God. I got a new engine in this thing. I'm going to take care of it this time. That's the same thing as happens with your body. And God is calling for people right now that will be totally and completely honest with him on all three levels. Not just your physical body, not just your mind, and not just your spirit, but your spirit, your soul, and your body. And this book is the answer to all three fields. I tell you, if you can't figure out anything else, if you will get in this Bible and it says, my God satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Well, that first off in the spirit is satisfying my mouth by putting his word in my mouth and not allowing anything else to come out of there. And then where the word is concerned in my intellectual realm, it begins to satisfy my mouth with the word concerning my mind and my emotions and my will. And then I stand on it. God will reveal to me the very food that I need to put in my mouth. You don't need a bunch more dope. You need the Word of God. Amen. You don't need the high blood pressure medicine and the heart medicine and the brain medicine and the eye medicine and the nose medicine and the medicine to counteract the medicine that counteracts the counteract of the medicine of the counteract. Amen. Well, Brother Copeland, I need some strong counseling here about what to do, about what to do in the financial realm. Go to work. What a wonderful place to start. Ain't talking about you laying at home, getting up about, 11:30 in the morning. I just can't understand why the money thing ain't working for me. Well, you ain't working. That's why. You ain't got any seed. Amen. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of this? This is really practical stuff. But it all boils down to this right here. This has to be first. This has to come first. Always. The book is first. I know the denomination that my mother was raised in and eventually kicked out because she started talking in tongues. But my grandmother was, we were Baptists. Christians, yeah, but we Baptists. You understand? Jimmy Swaggart says there's more Baptists than there are people. I think he might be right. We were Baptists, man. I wasn't. I didn't know what a Baptist was. You know what I thought a Pentecostal was? I thought they said, I didn't think there was any difference between them and the Baptists. Pentecostals just shouted and made a lot of noise, which is all right with me. I mean, that's about the total of my Bible education, man. T.L. Osborne looked at me and said, Copeland, God bless you. You was born free, man. Did any of that stick to me? Well, No, this book comes before your denomination. This book comes before your job. This book comes before your wife, before your children, before anything in your life. This book is first. Because with this book, you have a good life with your wife and your children and your job and all these other things. Amen. God bless you. Did you get something out? I know you did. Because I got so much out of it. Praise God. And bless me this morning. Amen. This word, the word of the living God. Now then, some things that I want to share with you today. We have been to some outstanding places this year. You remember I made you the announcement back in the last part of 06 that the Lord had said to me, Leroy Thompson and I were in the studio taping daily broadcasts. And that morning, Leroy had flown in early that morning. And one of the first things he said when he got out of his airplane, he said, I know what the Lord has said for me to share on these broadcasts, to teach on these broadcasts, that I know. But he said, this one scripture just keep going over and over and over and over in my mind. And he said, I don't know what in the world it has to do with what I'm supposed to be preaching with you on the broadcast. And he said, all the way over here in the airplane, he said, I finally just said, well, okay, Lord, show me. He said, what we ought to do? I said, well, we'll just open with that scripture. And then we'll just let the scripture do its own thing. We'll just take it from there, and whatever the Lord comes up with, that's what you and I'll do. He said, I was hoping you'd say that. And so he opened in the third chapter of the book of Revelation, and we read that scripture where Jesus said, I open a door that no man can shut, and I shut doors no man can open. And the moment he read that, I had already questioned God just the day before. I said, what, Lord, if you really label 2007, what is it you would like for me to begin to talk to my partners about this coming year? Anything in your heart, your plans and your pursuits that are significant about this year, what would it be? That's the day before. Leroy read that scripture on that, and the word of the Lord came to me. I mean, it hit me so loud and so strong, I jumped, and Leroy looked at me and said, what did he say? And I said, the word of the Lord was, 2007 is the year of the open door. And he said, things that I have instructed you to do in times past, and the devil just slammed the door in your face and you thought you were unsuccessful. In many cases, you thought you had failed. But he said, get up and go for it. Don't quit. He said, in the year of 2007, you will accomplish things that you thought in the past time you had failed. I've opened this door for you now, and no devil will be able to shut it. No person will be able to shut it. He said, the only person that can mess it up is you. Just if you just don't get up and go through it, you know. And I said, whoa, praise God. Well, of course, Leroy and I started talking about that then, and that led us on into the broadcast. Well, I've noticed it now all this year. Things in my own personal life that are just a lot of it that has finally come to a completion. There are things in this ministry that God told me to do years ago, and I've been hacking at it and pushing at it and driving at it. It seemed like every time you get going a little bit. I'll tell you one was the Spanish broadcast, Spanish ministry to the Hispanic world. I mean, we stepped out on that thing two or three different times and just got the rug yanked out from under us. And I rolled a carpet over on the Lord. I said, now when the time comes that it's time to do this again, you let me know. Well, we entered into it before 2007. We God said, go for it. We went at it again. But in 2007, the ministry to the Hispanic world has just skyrocketed, just took off. Praise God. I am so excited about that. Gloria a Dios. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm thrilled over that. And things like that are happening right now all over the world. Well, earlier, Gloria came in one morning and said, God is so strong. We're supposed to go to China. I said, China? What do I want to go to China for? She said, I don't know. But I got this strong. You better pray about it. So I started praying about it, and sure enough, she's right. Well, we got an agreement. We believe in God. We're going to go to China. Well, we started just holding it before the Lord, you know. And all of a sudden, arrangements began to come up. Arrangements began to be made. There were people came across our paths, and certain things happened, and certain things took place, and all of a sudden, it was time to go to China. Well, in the registration, on the registration title on the citation 10, of course, it's registered in the name of Eagle Mountain International Church. So it has church in the name of the registration. And for some reason or other, China didn't want that coming in. Well, we're changing that. That ain't gonna happen again. That's my dumb fault. But anyway, so we found a company in Shanghai that operated a charter service. And they came with very high recommendations. And so we flew the 10 to Tokyo. And we got on their airplane for the last 3-hour flight that went to Beijing. Now, we got to Beijing. And there is a group of people scattered out all over China that got into the Word of Faith on our materials and on Brother Hagin's material back some years ago by a Holy Ghost spy that that took these things in there. And he's the one that contacted us. He said, I'm going to take you in there. I want you to go. We said, yeah, we'll go. Well, here was a man that he pointed out to me, this fellow on the street, there's a guy riding along the street, a bunch of them, on a little three-wheel bicycle-looking thing. It was a bicycle with two wheels on the back instead of one. And they had a little pickup bed-looking thing on the back end of it, and they hauled 3 or 4 times the stuff that thing ought to be hauling. I don't know how in the world they ride it. I certainly don't. Some of them don't. Some of them are having to push it because they just got so much stuff piled on the back end of it. And that's what they do all their lives for a living. He said, that's what I did. He said, I was a street peddler and I hauled things for people with that bicycle. And he said, most of the time I hauled toilet paper. That is what I did. And he said, I was born in a 3-square-meter room. Now, 3-square-meter room is not very big. I mean, that's about 3 square yards, or just a little over 3 square yards. And so, he said, my daddy was born there and died there. My grandfather was born there and died there. My great-grandfather was born in that room and died there. He said, I knew good and well that I would live there all my life. My children were born there, and that was going to be it. He said, that's all I expected out of life. Until somebody got hold of me with the word of faith, and I found out that I was redeemed from the curse. I found out that the blessing of Abraham was on me. And he said, Brother Copeland, I started believing God. He said, now I want to show you a picture of our new home. And he said, now, this is our sixth new home. And he said, each one of them been a bit bigger than the last one. This was a nice place, man. I mean, he showed me this. And he said, I don't have any debts. This guy's in every kind of business you can think of. I mean, he's in the printing business. So now he's printing all of our books. He printed the faith to faith, printed the laws of prosperity. He said, you know, you got to get that one out. He said, that's the one that made got me free. And he, all of that, he printed, all this is being printed in China in his printing plant. And he, man, he's sending them out all over China. All this kind of stuff. The power. Hey, yeah, Barry's got a handful of them right there. Look at this. There's the what is that? That's faith to faith. Okay. There's the paperback. And what is that? That is the. You don't know either. It's one of our books. But you know what that is? Anybody know what? What that is? Praise God. Huh? It's good, whatever it is.
That's a Russian. That's a Russian.
I think it's Russian.
Huh?
That's a Russian faith.
Now, here's, and this one is faith to faith in Korean, right? That's faith to faith in Russian. But he's not doing the Russian one. But he is doing these other ones. Praise God. He's in the travel agency business. He arranged all this. Well, he's actually an underground church bishop. And he told Glory me, he said, now, I got the word out to between 65 and 70 of our church leaders. He said, now, these people represent over 1 million believers. But he said, I couldn't tell them who's coming. Because he said, if I told them who's coming, there'd be too many people come. Because he said, they all know you two. And he said, I just told them to be here on a certain date. Well, all 60, some, how many was it? Bear 68, 70, something like that. Anyway, they all showed up. Some of them spent 48 hours on the train getting there on the, but these are prosperous people. They all showed up. And we had an upper room meeting for 3 days. In there, where Gloria and I just taught constantly for 3 days. And it was in his conference room in his business. Now, everything we were doing is against the law. You understand? But we were doing business. Amen. That's what we're there for, to do business. Praise God. And they, all of these then, took all of these things out. We laid hands on everybody. And they all went back to their home churches and their underground churches. And it is just growing by leaps and bounds. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the gorgeous part of it was when we got done, we got on the little charter airplane, flew back to Tokyo, and they pulled up and taxied up right next to the Citation 10, and we got in it, and 13 there in Tokyo, and 13 hours later, we landed right out here at our airport. Refreshed, feeling good, ready to go. Amen. Whew. My goodness, outstanding. Well, then we turned around, and we went to Nigeria. And we had a little ministers' conference just outside of Lagos, Nigeria. Now, here's a man, Bishop David Oyedepo. Here's a guy that was an architect that got hold of the word of faith, and he just stayed with it. He read all of our books, and he believed in God. And he wound up in the ministry, wound up preaching. But he said, the mystery to me was the laws of prosperity. He said, I couldn't understand how God could get money through to me and me not being in debt and me not having to go in the world systems and all of that. He said, I just had a hard time with the understanding of that. So he said, I know what I'm going to do. He said, I just got Gloria Copeland's book on the will of God is prosperity and the laws of prosperity. And he said, I just shut myself off and studied that book and studied the Bible. And he said, I had an experience with God and he opened my heart and mind. Now, he went right out in the jungle. I'm talking about jungle. You understand? Tarzan jungle. He went right out in the jungle and bought 1,400 acres of land. No roads, no nothing, nothing but monkeys. And he goes out there in this place and he just cuts into it. And the place now, Canaan land of Lagos, Nigeria, and Word of Faith Temple Church and University, where there are 7,000 full-range degree students patterned after Oral Roberts University, $250 million plant and facilities, beautiful roads, homes where all of the staff, people that staff the university, people that staff the church, people that staff the elementary school and high school have beautiful homes there. All of it paid for, no debt, and no United States money in it. We landed that tin on the tarmac there in Lagos, Nigeria, and they had us taxi over to the customs area first, and then clear customs, and then taxi across the ramp over there to the general aviation area where we're supposed to park. And we pulled up into customs, and here come the custom agent and his couple of helpers, and they came out there, and of course we dropped the door and the stairway down on the airplane. And he walked up there, customs agent walked up there, and he stuck his head in the airplane, and he saw Gloria. And he said, oh! Just that loud. In our airplane. Oh, mama, mama, you are here, you are here, you are here. And he saw me, and he said, oh, papa, you are here, you are here. And he got in the airplane on his hands and knees, man, and he crawled up there and put his, this is a customs agent in Lagos, Nigeria. And he puts his head over in Gloria's lap, and he began to weep and cry. Said, oh, mama, oh, you are here. You have brought God's word to us. Oh, oh. And he began to go on and on about how he's prosperous. He's not poor anymore. He's born again. He's healed, and his family is healed. Well, later we got pictures of his family and the miracles that God had done in his life. Well, you can imagine Glory and I just sitting there. There ain't no word to laugh or cry. Or, yeah, glory to God. What a shock. And then he finally gets up and he kind of backed out of the airplane. He's just overcome, And he finally backs out of the airplane and he turns around those two helpers and said, get away from this airplane. Get on now. Go on. Go on. Go on. Stay out of that airplane. Go on. Stamped the paper and we taxied over across the ramp. I'm talking about a church now. We had a minister's conference there. That's primarily what we were doing there. The minister's conference, Creflo and Gloria and I preached. We started off with 4,000 preachers in the minister's conference. And by the end of the week, there was between 8,000 and 9,000 of them. And for the healing service, we couldn't have it over there where we were having the minister's conference. We had to move over to Big Church to have the Gloria had healing school then one afternoon. And I preached the first night, and Creflo preached. Well, he and I preached together, and then I preached the third night. And we had between 40 and 50,000 there the last night. Now, that's a nice church. It seats 51,400 on Sunday mornings. Debt free. Preaching the word of faith. Would you like to see it?
Yes.
All right, watch this.
Tonight, and you are expectant of what the Lord will do with you, shout a triumphant hallelujah. Welcome to Brother and Sister Kenneth Gloria Copeland. You are welcome. Hallelujah.
Somebody shout amen! Jesus is Lord! To the glory of God the Father! The Bible said, and man became a living being. Prospering in God is part of the blessing. The first thing the blessing does is get rid of the curse in your environment.
This is the woman that taught me the mystery of prosperity.
But I'm telling you, when you think about what Jesus paid for, he paid the bill. He paid the price. He paid the awesome price for you and me to be born again, to be saved, to be healed, to be free. Glory to God.
Jesus got in there. He got in there. He was made sin with your sin. He was cursed with your curse. He suffered the price for Adam's failure to walk in the blessing. And now he is in the pit of hell. And now he is suffering the suffering. Ah ha ha. But the word of the living God, I will perform the oath that I swore to Abraham your father. And he did. Jesus, the first man to ever be born from death to life. The first to go from being made sin to being made the righteousness of God. Have been raised up together to sit together with him throughout eternity. Woo, somebody shout amen. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's my father. That's my daddy. Did you know the scripture says that the believer is supposed to be shouting this? We are supposed to be shouting, Abba, Father. We are supposed to be shouting, I have a father. I have a daddy, and he's rich, and he's big, and he's God. Yeah. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the blessing.
blessing of you. The Jesus is yours. The blessing of Adam is yours. The blessing of Abraham is yours. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's blood bought. Holy Ghost empowered. Stand up and shout, I'm blessed.
Praise God. Amen. Now, I asked them, I asked the TV guys to put together a full panoramic shot of that building. You couldn't see it there. There's 10,000 people in every direction that you look. When you're standing from that platform, which is almost in the center of it, when you're standing there, there's 10,000 in front of you, and there's 10,000 over here, and there's 10,000 over here, and there's 10,000 back here, and then there's the balconies around. And I mean, they fill it every Sunday. Every Sunday, they put 50,000 people in this thing. Now, the roads are so bad from Lagos out there, it takes on the best day of all, the best traffic you can find, it'll take you between an hour and a half and 2 hours to drive. And it's only 13 miles. Now, the highway makes more than 13 miles. We got out of our airplane, got into a helicopter that the bishop had arranged for us to be taken out to the compound in. And we sat down there, and I'm looking over this pilot's shoulder, and I'm looking at his stuff. And I looked at the GPS sitting there, and I thought, can that be right? And I looked a little bit closer, and yeah, there it is. That shows the compound and the latitude and longitude of it. And this is going to be a 7-minute ride. And it takes nearly 2 hours to get there. And they have 50,000 people making that drive to get to church. Here, take a look at it. Now, that's the whole thing. You preachers don't think you can't preach in the middle of that? Dear Lord, everybody shouting at you at one time? Your feet don't ever hit the ground. Praise God. I think you ought to give the Lord a praise for that. And these are the kind of things, these are the kind of doors that God has been opening all this year, and we're not near done yet, praise the Lord. They're just marvelous things. So much is going on. If I went through all these different reports and showed you clips from all of these, I wouldn't have time to cover it. So I asked my son, John, who is executive director of all of the business affairs of the ministry and so forth, and chief operational officer. And I asked him if he would put together a ministry update. And John doesn't have a tendency to get as carried away as I do. So I asked him if he would do it. And so if you watch this, this will tell you some things that are going on.
Hello, I'm John Copeland, chief executive officer of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And I would like to give you an update about what's going on in this ministry today. The Believer's Voice of Victory television broadcast is meeting the needs of people and changing lives. We're producing over 2,600 programs a year, airing over 2,100 hours each week on 1,200 stations, reaching a potential audience of more than 605 million people in over 200 countries around the world. This broadcast is also translated into Russian, Ukrainian, and Spanish languages. The Believer's Voice of Victory magazine. Each month, more than 570,000 publications are mailed to 135 countries and 5 continents worldwide. This free publication is full of faith lessons from a variety of speakers, testimonies, articles to encourage you and strengthen your faith. The Kenneth Copeland Ministries website, kcm.org, is one of the ways we stay in touch with our partners around the world. Our website received over 80 million hits per year, or an average of 220,000 hits per day. KCM.org provides global access to our BVOV broadcast, live audio and video feeds from the meetings, MP3 audio files, internet radio, a 24/7 Bible study center. We have ministry updates, we have meeting information, articles, prophecies, a daily devotional. You really need to go out there and check it out if you hadn't, because you can order products, you can send us your prayer requests, and you can even send us your praise reports. Over the past 40 years, my dad and my mom have preached the uncompromised Word of God. And that teaching has been developed into over 20,000 books, tapes, CDs, and DVDs on a variety of subjects, including faith, prosperity, healing, love. On average, we ship over 1.1 million orders a year to partners and friends around the world. These products are teaching tools designed to help you reach your potential in God and fulfill the call that He has for your life. Did you know that you are a part of bringing hope and healing to those behind bars? Kenneth Copeland Ministries reaches out to over 100,000 prisoners throughout the world. On average, we receive 17,000 letters each month, and we minister back to them by sending over 500,000 free books, CDs, DVDs, and other teaching materials each year. On April 30th, we went live with our new computer system, Siebel. It's a customer resource management software. This system will enhance our serviceability to you with new and improved customer service and ministry tools. If you're an eConnection member, which I encourage you to become one, you will benefit from features such as product selection assistance, self-service account management, one-click KCM meeting registration, contributions made easier, and a KCM world map. Just click on your country and go directly to the website of the KCM International Office that serves you. You are never a day without prayer. Kenneth Copeland Ministries prays for you every day. We have someone in each of our offices around the world that can assist you and pray with you in faith. Our prayer line has answered 219,000 prayer calls and over 70,000 service calls. Every call we answer and every call we make have a common purpose: to minister to you, our partners and friends. In addition to all the outreaches, Kenneth Copeland Ministry gives the first 10% of all income from contributions and sales to support various ministries taking the gospel around the world. Over the past 40 years, your seed has helped over 100 ministries, churches, orphanages, youth programs, and rehabilitation centers in over 120 countries. Because of you, people have heard the good news of Jesus Christ and their lives have been changed forever. One of the most important things to report is the number of people who have made Jesus the Lord and Savior of their lives. Since 1967, Kenneth Copeland Ministries and other ministries that we support have had the privilege of leading more than 66.4 million people around the world to the Lord. That's an average of 138,000 souls per month. For 40 years, partners, you made that possible. I would like to thank you for your prayers and your support. This ministry was built on the Word of God and on faith. You won't find two people more sold out to God and His call on their lives than my parents. And you won't find a ministry more determined to fulfill its commission to preach the gospel to the nations than Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Together, we will continue to preach the uncompromised Word of God from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around, declaring that Jesus is Lord.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a praise. Amen. Those of you that are already partners with this ministry, I'm going to ask you to stand. Those of you that believe the Lord is calling you to become a partner with this ministry, would you stand also? I'm going to receive you into the ministry, and we just give God the praise and the honor and the glory for all that He is doing. Because it's the things that you've seen is just simply one thing. It is the Word of God at work. Amen. Gloria and I made that determination in the spring of 1967 before we went out in this ministry full time, and we sat at our little table and took communion, and we declared before God that day that the Word was our source and that whatever it said, we would change our lifestyle to fit the Word and not change the Word to fit our lifestyle. And we laid down three things that day, and a few days later we added a fourth to it. One was that we would never ask anybody anywhere for a place to preach. That was God's business, and that we put this in His hands, and we stood on His word that said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We said, yes, sir, we'll do that, and we'll follow this. Now, you're in charge here in the name of Jesus. And the next day, I got up and got dressed and got ready and went to the living room. That's as far as I had. But I got a call. I got a call from Harold Nichols, and he said, Brother Copeland, would you come hold a meeting for me in my church? Said, I'd like to have you down here for about 3 days. I said, yes, sir, Brother Harold. When do you want me there? And he told me, and I was there. And instead of 3 days, we went 3 weeks. Praise God. And that started it all, and we've been busy ever since. The second thing we said was we'll never preach anywhere based on a financial arrangement. In the name of Jesus, no. Our financial prosperity is based on our giving, not on what other people give to us. And we set out with that. And the third thing was that I will never, ever, the longest day I live on this earth, I will never, ever ask anybody for money. I'll never ask them to meet my needs. And I told the Lord, I said, I'm not even going to receive offerings. You'll have to take care of it. No, He said, no, that's unscriptural. And He took me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, and He took me to Philippians chapter 6 and different places around the Word. And He said, now, you need to follow the Word of God. And I said, well, Lord, what I had in mind was I will never call somebody and say, you know, we didn't quite meet our budget last week. Could you help me? I never have, and I never, ever will. And things like that happen from time to time. But Gloria and I found out to keep our mouth shut about it and just go before the Lord and start sowing, start increasing our giving, get over on the Word, double up on the Word of God, double up on our study, double up on our meditation, on those finances, in heaven's economy, and study that and talk that and go with that and roll the care of it over on Him. And we have a 100% track record. God has always made His move and overwhelmed those shortfalls, praise God. And I stand before you today without any debts, praise God. No mortgages, haven't had any, not going to have any, praise the Lord. After all these years. And I was lying on the bed one day, so I said, you've told me to do all this stuff. How in the world? Radio and all of, man, oh God, how am I going? Why? Obeying these things that have been established in our lives, and how am I going to get that kind of money in here? And the word of the Lord came to me. He said, you're seeking the wrong thing. I said, well, okay. He said, seek ways to get the word out, and the money will come in. That changed my whole life that day. I quit seeking ways to get the money in. I didn't make those kind of plans anymore. That nothing. Zero. But when we started figuring out, I'd put the Word of God on a red string if I could get it on there. And, you know, and we started making our endeavor. And now, well, you can see the results. And I'm not doing anything any different than I was 35, 37, 38, 40 years ago. I'm a bit smarter than I was. I'm old enough. I'm finally grown. Amen. At least I'm old enough to have some good sense. Better sense, anyway. Amen. But the Word of God, the Word of the living God, the living Word. Man, that's where your finances are. That's where your life is. That's where your health is. That's where your family is. That's where your ministry is. That's where your business is. Praise God.
man came to me. It was a milestone in this ministry. It never had happened before. Brought $1 million to me. We've had, since then, we've had a few, very few of those. Our money's not come in like that in big chunks. He said, I was determined and said before the throne of God that I'd bring $1 million cash into this ministry. And he said, now here it is. But his story was extremely interesting. He had come up in his company where he had better than a good job. His family was almost grown. He was past the age of anybody, you know, being able to go out and job hunt. But that never crossed his mind. And all of a sudden, he wasn't in the office one day, and he no longer had a job. They had phased his whole operation out of the company, and they just smiled real big and told him, you know, thanks a lot. And there he was. He'd been living from paycheck to paycheck. He's living big, but he's living from paycheck to paycheck. Had all kinds of debt. He was wiped out in one day, totally, completely broke. Didn't have a clue, just a, you know, just a, love God, good Catholic boy, good Catholic family, love God, worship God, went to church, been, I mean, these are honest people, these are good people. He didn't know what to do. And he said, I got hold of your book on the laws of prosperity, and he thought, dear God, that's what I got to have. And he went down to the Burger King, and he said, I didn't have money enough to even buy a hamburger, man. And he said, I'm just sitting back there in the corner nursing a glass of water. And he said, on some days, I had enough money to buy a cup of coffee. And he said, I'm going real easy on that cup of coffee because I didn't have nowhere to go. And he said, that was my study place back there. And he said, I went through that book over and over and over and over. And God began to prosper us. And I got a hold of some tapes. And I began to work and I began to study. And I sat right there in that corner. And he said, I saw it. I saw it. The Word of God is the source of my prosperity. The Word of the living God is my source. It's not some company. It is not some job. It is not some business. It's the Word of God. God will provide the company. He'll provide the job. He will provide for my family. Praise God. And he said, I kept getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And he said, I was determined right there in that Burger King, my God, I'm going to put $1 million in Kenneth Copeland Ministries one of these days. And it happened. And it was less than 8 years coming to pass. And he is a vitally vibrant, healed, strong man of God today. And he has led thousands upon thousands of people to Jesus since that time. I can't impress you enough. Hallelujah. And that's what this ministry is all about. That's our job. Amen. And you're a part of it. Praise God. Father, I receive new partners into this ministry. I pray the blessing of God on our partners today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I release the blessing in greater proportion. I release the double according to Zechariah 9:11. Praise God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for all of my partners. I pray if any of them have any family outside the kingdom of God, I pray the Lord of the harvest and I pray the very angels of the living God, I pray that the word come across them in the name of Jesus. That you know
to whom they will listen. Send that person. I don't care if you have to send somebody from the other side of the world. Get somebody across their path with the word of God, and I believe they just sweep into the kingdom. Sweep them into the kingdom of God. They have children outside the kingdom. Sweep their kids. Bring their kids home in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. And all of my partners, Father, all of them, that don't have a job, they're seeking a job, they want a job, I'm asking you to get the best job they ever had in their life, job beyond their wildest dreams, and get it to them immediately in the name of Jesus. And all of my partners that work for someone else, I'm asking you to give them promotion. Your word said promotion comes from above. Promotion comes from God. I'm asking you to give them the best ideas. I'm asking you to give them witty inventions. I'm asking you to give them favor in that company all the way up until they own the company, if it be your will for that. And those that have their own businesses, oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my, I praise you, Father. And in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to give them customers, give them ideas, give them business management ideas that the world never heard of before. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I give you praise for that. You said in your word, and you said by manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit, the word has already come that you would magnify our partners and expand them financially into a far greater and larger place. And all of our partners that are in the ministry, oh, dear Lord, oh, dear God, send them vital partners for their ministry, for their churches, for their outreaches all over the world. I'm telling you, cause the money to just flood in there. Cause it to flood in there. Cause radio, television, books, and all kinds of ministry, music ministries, and all ministries of all kinds to explode. And I rebuke debt in the name of Jesus. You get out of the lives of my partners now. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, Father, we praise you and we thank you for it. We praise you and we thank you for it. We praise and we worship you and we bless you for it in Jesus' name. And now, Father, I pray for their strength spiritually, their strength mentally, and their strength physically, their strength financially, and their strength and favor in the social world. That the government, well, they'll have favor with the city government, favor with the state government, favor with the federal government, in whatever nation they're in. I don't care what kind of government they have. You can give them favor wherever they are. Hallelujah. Great favor. City council, great favor. Zoning commissions, great favor. Praise God. Oh, we thank you for it. Oh, we give you praise and honor and we glorify your name. Now, Father, Gloria and I have already prayed this over the years. It's already settled with you in heaven. We settled it here on the earth in our lives. But I pray it again today so that my partners can hear it come out of my mouth and across my lips. Today, in the name of Jesus, I reaffirm our commitment to you in this ministry to keep it pure. To keep it pure on the Word. Uncompromised on the word of the living God. What you say in your word is final authority for us. We pray and commit to keep this ministry pure sexually, firmly established on the word of God and all of its moral statutes. And we adhere to it. We have commissioned ourselves to stand and stay before the throne of God and walk in the light as you are in the light. And your blood cleanses us from all sin. To keep it pure financially. To keep it purely on the word. Keep it purely out of debt at all times. To never, ever, ever put pressure on people to meet our needs. We have committed and we recommit and affirm it today that we never, ever, ever use people to get things. No, we believe God for things in order to bless and love people. People, meeting the needs of your people. That is the core, and it is the core resource of this ministry. That's what we are about, 100% in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it. And Father, Glory and I open this ministry. We open our hearts. And we share 100% with our partners every heavenly and earthly blessing and reward that's coming to us for preaching this gospel. That it come on them, every anointing on us, everything that you have endowed this ministry with, every spiritual endowment, every spiritual gift, every endowment that has been released in this ministry to come on all of our partners, come on their homes, come on their churches, come on their ministries, come on their families, come on their businesses, and all that they set their hand to do is anointed with the same anointing. Because, Father, we may go somewhere and preach, but my, it's my partners that bought the clothes we wear. Our partners bought the fuel we burn. Our partners bought the cars and the airplanes and the equipment and the printing presses and the books and all that's going out there. My Lord, my God, all we are is the messenger people. Oh, it's our partners. Our partners. They have as much reward coming for every soul that's saved that Glory and I do. For every person that gets healed, they have as much reward for that as we do. In some cases, more. Oh, God. It thrills us beyond measure for our partners to receive on the same level that we receive. And we give you much praise and we honor you for it. In Jesus' holy, blessed name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you may be seated for a few moments. If the Lord has led you, you believe it's God's will for you to become a partner with this ministry. If you'll lift your hands up, the ushers will hand you an envelope there. You can fill that out. Now, what you do about your financial support of this ministry, that's between you and the Lord. That's not my business. And if you desire to take this and pray over it for a few days, take the envelope, take it with you, pray over it, fill it out as the Lord leads you to, and send it in. The only thing I suggest to you, that you go ahead and fill that out, because when you do, the day you do, that gets you in that prayer system, praise God. And we pray for our partners every day of the world. You are prayed for, spirit, soul, and body, and it will continue until Jesus comes. Praise the Lord. I write a letter to you every month, and no, ain't no computer writes it. I write it. Amen. And I have committed to the Lord that I would never, ever write that letter to try to get you to meet my needs. And there's been times I stopped and said, no, this ain't right, and just tear the thing up and start over again until I can hold it there before the Lord and say, I did not write this for any purpose other than to help my partners get their needs met. And when it's in that condition, then I can mail it. And I'm a whole lot better at it now than I was years ago. But God had to just teach me and train me and correct me. And that letter has become a source of revelation in my life, because I pray about it all the time. And it has about, I would say now, better than 90% of what I preach and what I minister publicly had its root, the revelation of it had its root
in praying over that partner letter. And there's a lot of things that my partners get that I haven't said publicly yet. And how many of you in here today, partners of this ministry, you in the real estate business? May I see your hand? I had the word of the Lord. I was praying for one of my partners day before yesterday, and I had the word of the Lord come to me concerning my partners in the real estate business. He said this downturn in real estate and mortgages and in houses right now, he said that don't belong to you. Don't join in on it. Don't talk it. Don't let it get in your mouth. Don't repeat what those people are saying on television. They'll talk you out of everything you've got. No, no, you start talking different than that. No, I live on heaven's economy. That's not mine. I'm not going to join in on that shortfall. Praise the Lord. He meets my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Don't ever join in on any kind of recession. Let them recess all they want to. Pray for them. You can turn it around for other people. But let me tell you something. You want me to tell you when the big fortunes have always been made? Big fortunes are not made in what's called good times. When the stock market's just going wild and all that, and blah, 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 and prices are big enough. No, no. The big fortunes are made when everything is going downhill. It's the people that have the faith of God and stand on the word of God, and God prospers them, and through them, then the rest of it begins to rally and come out. Yeah, when God begins to bless you, that's when the big fortunes are made. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, that's wonderful. I got something now. I have to show you this, so just take a minute and watch this. This, at one time, was recognized as the meanest, bloodiest prison on the North American continent. And now over half of its inmate population have been born again. I mean, this is a phenomenon from heaven.
The Louisiana State Penitentiary at Angola is one of the largest maximum security prisons in the United States. It houses over 5,000 men. 85% will die within the prison walls. For years, Angola was known for being one of the worst prisons in the U.S., the bloodiest prison in the South due to the number of inmate assaults. Leaders within the prison system saw change, and in 1994 received accreditation from the American Correctional Association. But even Warden Kane knows that changing the hearts of the prisoners is what needs to happen to make a true difference.
We can teach them to read and write and skills and trade, but if we don't change them in their hearts, we just made smarter criminals. That's what Kenneth Copeland Ministries is doing, change them in their heart. And therefore, then when they're released from prison, they're a new person.
For the past 2 years, Kenneth Copeland has traveled to the Angola prison to preach the uncompromised word of God.
But what God is saying, I'm not holding that against you. If you'll just do what I tell you to do and believe what I say and act on it, then it will become a reality in your life. And you can become as free in here or more than you ever were on the street.
Through partnering with Mike Barber Ministries, KCM is impacting the lives of thousands of prisoners.
Over a period of 27 years, in doing what we could and being well aware of it, I'm not called primarily to the prison ministry. But I know what the Word says. Jesus said, I was a prisoner and you came and visited me. So we've always done that. Over that period of time, we had on record, we were continually ministering to 3,600 prisoners. The Lord brought Mike and this ministry and me together. The following year, we ministered and had communication with 197,000 inmates. And it's just gone from there. And it's just been a phenomenal thing.
All of the thousands of partnerships were in this arena today with Brother Copeland because of their gift. you know, and that allows him to fly here, you know, and in the middle of his busy schedule and do this, turn around and go back. That's what allows us to do this together. If you take partnership away from it, you've taken our foundation and we can go nowhere. That's how important the foundations are. That's how important the partners are, and they're the best. Without them, it's impossible.
KZM receives almost 20,000 letters each month from prisoners. Last year, KCM invested over 500,000 different products, books, and Bibles into the lives of inmates.
I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart and to let you know that you are a part of this unit every time we worship. And I see your Bibles out there in the auditorium, and I have the men asking me for more and more Faith to Faiths. The materials are never ending. They keep coming in and they keep coming in, and they are a source of spiritual life on this farm. The partners make that happen. Without the partners, I could be telling Kenneth and Gloria, thank you for what you do for us.
Thank you so much for being my partner. If we were trying to do this by ourselves, forget it. I ain't even going to think about that. God bless you. We love you all.
Together, we're making a difference.
Citation 10, 1-9-6-2 Juliet. And we're just a little bit southeast of the airport now. We'll be turning to come down on a low pass there. We'll be doing about 250 knots, which will be about 300 miles an hour. Let you get a little look at it. That's as fast as we're allowed to go below 10,000 feet on account of a 300 mile an hour speed limit. If we were above 10, we'd be doing twice that.
Gentlemen, citation 10, serial number 240. Would you join me in welcoming Brother Kenneth Copeland?
Somebody ought to shout.
Together, all of us are going to receive this piece of equipment into the ministry today. Amen. It's a treasure from heaven to carry the gospel around the world. Father, we receive it. We receive it as a gift from on high. And we thank you for it. It's a glorious thing. We are so blessed. You're so good to us. And we thank you for it. We receive it. We honor you in it. And we call it ours. It belongs to this ministry and to our partners and to the ministry team that will travel in it and take this gospel. And so now, we dedicate its use to your life, to your ministry, Lord Jesus. We dedicate it
It will never, ever be used as long as it is in our care for anything other than what is becoming to you, Lord Jesus. No words will be spoken in it that are not becoming to you and to your gospel in your name. And therefore, we release our decision making concerning this airplane into your hands. What you say is what we'll do. And we thank you for it. Amen. Father, we praise you. Lift your hands and give the Lord praise. Thank you for it. It's done, and we're glad, and we're going on in the kingdom of God. Amen. Shout amen. Hallelujah.
Well, give the Lord a praise. Praise God, I tell you, it's exciting, the things that are happening. Amen. Would you welcome Mac Gober? Mac, would you come up, please? Mac is the guy that... Amen. You just keep bringing these wild people in here, Mac. You know, I think it's about time somebody explains something here.
I do too. Please help me.
Every time somebody opens their Bible and reads a scripture, you notice somebody just shouts the... I'm telling you, Jesse backed up about three steps.
Crippolo said it turned him white.
Yeah. Well, that's it. That's this bunch of wild people from Canaan land up there that
Canaan Land Bible Training Center.
Yeah, and they're taught that when the word comes forth, to immediately receive it with gladness. And that's what they were doing. Your first scripture you read, they shout and receive it with gladness. Amen. So now you know. Praise the Lord. When several years ago, the Lord began to deal with Mac. Mac came to me and he said, Brother Kenneth, I've got that Citation 10 in my heart so strong. He said, I stood before the Lord and told him that if I had the money, I'd pay for it, and I'd gladly do it. But he said, I believe God has given me a plan. Well, he went over it with me, and I took several weeks to pray over it, study it before the Lord, question the Lord about it, the ins and the outs of it, and I came to a place where I said, okay, Lord, what is it? What do you want me to do? He said, the Elite CX team is my doing. And I want you to open the door to Mac and run with this thing. So we did. Amen. And you can see the first
results.
Result. Praise the Lord. Paid cash.
That's right.
For
that's
that
what
Citation
we like doing.
10.
Amen.
And I, you know, we had the executives of Cessna Airplane Company came down and to the ministry, he came out to see us. They came out there to get that money, what they did. And I don't blame them.
I don't either.
And we set them down to have lunch, but we wouldn't let them eat until they saw the footage, that original footage that we had where we took their video of the Citation 10 and we took their audio off of it. Where it had all the airplane talk on it, and we put Amazing Grace on that. And those guys sitting there with their mouths hung open, and they were so blessed. And it has just been a blessing all the way down the line from Cessna Airplane Company to right on through to the ministry. It was a blessing to those people in Lagos. It was a blessing to the other people around the world where we've been flying. Is a blessing to people in Europe. It's been a blessing everywhere we've landed to fuel the airplane. We stop someplace and they say, who are y'all? And they say, well, we're Kenneth Copeland Ministries and the Elite CX team. I heard of that. So message has gotten out, Mac. There are people in Juneau, Alaska, and Anchorage, and different places where we're
going. And it's going to get out more.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mac, go ahead and tell us what the Lord's got on you. There's that article.
Amen. I'd like to just share briefly something that my wife, Sandra, shared with me. She was able to come to that party that we had for the Citation 10 coming in. And she was standing there in the back, and of course there was quite a few people there. I don't know, close to 2,000 people. And when that plane came in view, now this is the difference in something that the world does and then something that God does. When that plane came into view and the music started and everybody began to sing Amazing Grace, Sandra was trying to wipe her eyes because she didn't want people to see that she was crying. She opened up her eyes so she could find a little hanky or something, and she looked around and she said everybody was crying. I mean, the presence of God consumed that place. It was a holy thing. I said it was a holy thing. And I mean, everybody was touched by that, because we just looked at what God can do when you put people together with the same mind, the same like thought life, and we build a team that works and talks as one. That's the power of teamwork. And out of a lot of the meetings I've come to, so many of you have always asked me, where's Sandra? And I'd always say, well, she's a homebody, and she's home. And that's gone on for quite a few years. Well, today, my wife, Sandra, is with me in the house. We've been married 29 years, 3 grown children who are all preachers of righteousness. Never, listen to this, never left the church, never went the way of the world, and have stayed serving God all through their life. Listen to me. Your marriage can stay happy. You can have a happy marriage. And I'm 60 years old, and I declare unto you the romance has never left. The romance does not have to leave. It works when you do the Word. And then the Word does you, and you get the benefit. Sandra Gober, please stand up and let everyone see you. Put her on the big screen. Put her on. I want you talking about one gourd. Look, there you are on the big screen, baby. She's just one of them outstanding, good-looking women. I mean, that dog will hunt. After all these years, I tell you. Now, with the Elite CX team, something happened, and Kenneth was talking about it a while ago, and about reaching the inmates and the prisoners. Everything that Kenneth and Gloria had done, if you go back and trace it, it'll go always back to a man's soul or to a woman's soul. They're trying to reach people for Jesus. They want them born again, but then they don't want them to stay ignorant, as some have for years, sitting in some church 15 and 20 years, getting religion and living a miserable life. And that is not what Jesus came and died for. He came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Amen. And so we can have those things. And Kenneth and Gloria, this ministry supports Canaanland Bible Training Center. And these are men that come from all backgrounds. And they come because somewhere in their life they've gotten contact. Somebody's introduced them to Canaanland. It could have been a judge. Many judges sentenced guys to Canaanland. Some guys come there on their own. But they cannot come in until they go through an interview, because we want to find out those that really want help. You cannot help people that don't want help. They just want your money, and they want your biscuits. That's it. I hate to break it to you, because they'll have a new story next week. They'll be more sadder this week than it was last week. And it's all designed to get your money, sleep in your bed, and eat your biscuit. But when a man gets sick and tired of being sick and tired, he'll receive help, and he'll be thankful that he got it. Now, I want to talk about three bills here, not dollar bills, three bills that relates to Canaan land. And number one, there's a guy sitting out there today that is at Canaan land, a Bible student, and his name is Bill Searcy. And if you have been any kind of Alabama football fan, he helped take Bear Bryant to two national championships. And I think it was 1977 or 78 and 79. And then Bear Bryant sent him a personal ring that was a 315 ring. And because he had won 315, that's how many. And I think it was well over 20 years before anybody even got close to breaking his record. He'd been dead for 20 years before anybody even got close to breaking his record. So he was a big old youngin', about 400 and something pounds. And he'd get in your face, you go, oh, my God, I need a miracle. And but he proved why he was there on scholarship and helped Bear Bryant take those teams to two national championships back to back. And then Bear Bryant sent him a 315 ring, which meant that he was one of the players that helped him reach the 315 goal, winningest coach in the world at that time in football, college football. So he lived big. He lived large. He got all that money, and then he started playing pro football. And there was two or three in there, and I don't remember all of them. The one I remember was San Diego Chargers. He began to play for the San Diego Chargers several years after he graduated from college. And I remember that one because my uncle always wanted me to play for the San Diego Chargers. And I told him I couldn't play for Mickey Mouse. You got to be kidding me. And but not too many months ago, Bill was talking to his young son, 14 years old. And earlier on, he told his son, "Son, I'm going to give you these rings, these college rings, diamonds all over them. They meant a lot. They were worth a lot. I mean, a ring like that was worth a lot." And the 315 ring, he said, "Son, one of these days, these rings will mean a lot to you." But when Bill couldn't stop going through treatment centers, he ended up losing his wife and lost his son. And the rings that he had that he was going to hold on to for his son, he hocked them at a pawn shop for just enough money to get drunk one more time. Later on, when he's there talking to his son several months later, his son is saying, "Please, Daddy, go to Canaan land." And he said, "Son, I don't know if I can go somewhere a year." And his son looked at him with tears flowing out of his eyes. He said, "Daddy, I'd rather give you up for a year and get to keep you for the rest of my life than to lose you from alcohol today." And he said, Bill said, "When my son did that," he said, "Son, I'll go to Canaan land, I'll graduate. And it's because of Kenneth Copeland and you as partners that helps me help me." And just like that, Bill Searcy, stand up, buddy, wherever you are. Hallelujah! I want to report to you that Bill is doing exceedingly well. And he's even bringing the teachings that he learned from Bear Bryant to help the other students. He's told them that when the Mac is yelling at you, that means he loves you. He said it's when he stops yelling at you that you better get concerned. When he doesn't talk to you no more, you better watch out. And we have another Bill there, and I'll make this really a short story as well. Brother Kenneth Copeland knows about it on a personal level. But there's a guy that's now, I'm his pastor. He works with me. And several years ago, he shot my good friend 5 times. And he rode with the Hells Angels, a full patch holder, again, San Diego, my old stomping ground, if you read the book. But the guy didn't die, but he thought he did. Because you shoot somebody 5 times, usually you're dead. 3 hit him in the stomach, 1 in his arm, 1 in his good leg. He had 1 leg gone, just had a wooden leg. Hey, those guys are great to take to parties, wooden leg guys. You can shoot them, and everybody go, oh, my God. It's just a wooden leg. Yeah. Or you can stab him in the knife, and everybody freaks out, and it's just a wooden leg, you know. But anyway, listen to me, hold up. I got to go because I'm on a mission up here. But hey, listen, you get to see all those other places that Kenneth is helping, and I'm just trying to give you a little short version. I mean, over 3 minutes here. But what he didn't know, the man that he shot, he used to be the international boss of one of the most powerful motorcycle gangs, largest motorcycle gangs throughout all of Canada. And he didn't know that was a good friend of mine. And he had given his life to the Lord. And then he found out he did get saved. He had become a preacher. So he says, let's see what his God will do for him now. And that's when he jumped out and had ski mask on and shot him 5 times. So later on, he didn't realize it, but when Doug fell in a pool of his own blood, dropped right there, he'd just gotten off his scooter, fixing to go in to talk to his fiance. I had just got through spending a week with him, telling him and teaching him how to treat a lady like a lady. I mean, at one time he had 19 Harleys and 21 Cadillacs, 3 homes. He wasn't doing bad in that world. But now he's laying there in a pool of his own blood, and this is what he prayed. Lord, don't be mad at that guy. He's just doing what he thought was right. But save him like you did me, and fill him full of love like you did me, in Jesus' name. And then he passed out. And then they got him to the emergency room. 3 years later, Doug calls me. He says, I got a letter I want to show you at Sturgis this year. We get there, he pulls it out, and the first words is, Doug, if you can ever find it in your heart to forgive me, I've asked Jesus Christ to come in my life. It is not jailhouse religion, even though he was in state prison at that time, but totally unrelated. What he did in Canada. And then one of his 6 or 7 aliases that he used, he snuck back across the border back to San Diego, and he got caught down there for something totally unrelated. And now he's finding out that this guy he shot didn't die. And when he saw a little gospel tract, he read that. God began to touch him, and he gave his life to Jesus. And to make the long story short, that we always have to say that, don't we? And you're hoping kids won't get mad at you. And but he ought to be happy because of what he's and his partners are doing. Today, that guy that shot my buddy is my good friend, and he works and lives at Canaan to help the men there. And now you take, there goes God again doing wonderful miracles. And shot my good buddy, and now we're good friends. Only Jesus does stuff like that. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. All right. Most of you know, amen, amen. There's a Listen, I've got a lot of stories, but they're all about God and what God's doing. But the most important thing that's working in my life is definitely my relationship with God, the throne time that Jesse talks about, then my wife and children, and then the ministry or the job that you work comes third. Now here, it says, we'll get your mom and dad the equipment they need to travel around the world to preach the gospel. And then one night while I was having dinner with John Copeland, I asked him, John, just how many airplanes has your dad given away? John smiled and said, 26. Thinking, wow, that's a lot of seed, I asked. And how many planes had been given to your dad? John paused and said, none. At that time, John was not aware in the early days of Kenneth Copeland's ministry. He had been given two planes, but fixed them up and gave them to two men of God. You can imagine my surprise, John answering, whoa, I said, what's wrong with this picture? You know, if people loved your parents half as much as I do, we'll get your mom and dad the equipment they need to travel around the world and preach the gospel. You know, when Kenneth was talking about that guy from Laos, when they landed their plane there and he wouldn't let nobody else get there, and he went in the plane and laid his head on Gloria's lap and began to weep because they loved them so much. Well, that's the way I feel. Every partner loves Kenneth and Gloria. And if not, you should, because of what they've done in uncompromised preaching of the gospel. Can I have a water, a little sip of water, just a little cup of water? Remember the prophet's war. You share in the water. Hallelujah. That's all right. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Thank you a lot. When I was in Vietnam in 66 and 67, I got acquainted with a lot of teams that worked together. Our base camp was Camp Tinshaw, based at the Monkey Mountain, at the bottom of Monkey Mountain. And it was under MAC. V, M-A-C-V, and that stands for Military Assistance Command Vietnam. So what they did, they took a little bit of Air Force and Army, Navy, and the Marines, and all these guys that had special training, and pulled them together at Camp Tinshaw under MAC-V. And so we were there to assist in whatever area we could do. A lot of it was intel. It was going out and taking all kind of information down. But I learned how things get done when a people does it together as a team. When you're fussing and fighting about stuff, that's why God stopped the whole Tower of Babel. I mean, them guys, they was talking the same language. And he says, if I don't change their language, they're going to be able to accomplish what they're doing. Well, that's what the Elite Six team is. We're speaking the same thing, the same mind, the same words. We're going to get behind Kenneth and Gloria. And remember the Citation 10 when I first explained it to you. It's not just to get that airplane. That is only one mission. That is only one operation that started off the Elite Six team. Now then, when other projects come up, we, the Elite Six team, take it on and we do it. And so that's what we're right in the middle of right now. Hold on, I got some new figures.
Bless you, my brother, for the water. Bless you, bless you, bless you.
All right, listen to this. As of August the 9th of 07... we have 5,230 members of the Elite Six team. Now, okay, there was a time within the last year that I had shared with you that we had 6,000. And several of you have asked me about that. And when we were in Anaheim, California, there were some precious people that came up to me and had sent their check in and showed me where it was made out to the Elite CX team. And but it didn't get recorded that way. Somehow it was an accident. I mean, you know, that's why they call them accidents. You don't do it on purpose. It's an accident. And so I began to talk to them, and we went over there to the table, and they corrected it, and they got the money, and they got accounted for it. Well, now then, if you remember, the Elite 16, our second mission is Operation HD, and that stands for High Definition. And right now, we have 912,000 that's already come in on Operation HD. That's just about $1 million. But if you understand, we're believing God for $8 million. And I found out also what they did. It really helped me, and I pray that it helps you. I found out that sometimes pastors would do, they became an Elite CX team member with their church. But then the wife and the husband, the pastor, they became a part of the Elite CX team on a separate account. So that was acting as two. And when the accounting department saw that, they just pulled the two and made them one. Well, there's a lot we found out that wanted it to be separate. They wanted their church to be an Elite CX team member, and they wanted to stay, him and his wife, personally an Elite CX team member. So what we're doing is I'm asking you, I'm begging you, if that's you and you're watching, please send in a letter and get that corrected. Say, no, we're doing this because every time an operation comes up, like Operation HD, our church is going to send one in, and we're going to send one in personally. Well, that's what Sandra and I did. Canaanland became one, and then Sandra and I became one. Well, when they did that, they thought they was helping us, and a lot of people were taking off and just down to one. And so we're just saying, brother or sister, please just take the time. And I'd like to say one other thing that's very important here. Since I'm a partner, that's what I asked Kenneth about. Could I go talk to partners? And I felt like I had found out something. And with Ken, I mean, John Copeland, he'd fly over with some of the staff to Canaanland. And we had a bunch of paintball guns, and we'd go fight each other out in the jungles. And, you know, he don't fight fair. He fights to win. I think he learned that from his dad. But we'd get out there at nighttime, and we'd set them up. I mean, we had booby traps. I mean, we had them to the rights. And then all of a sudden, an hour goes by, 2 hours, they don't show up, and I'm thinking, where they are? I'm going to have to go out and do a little recon, find them, then I'll come back and report to our guys where they are. I don't move 80 yards, and I get lit up. They're shooting me from everywhere. And I'm going, I mean, the sky is dark. The sun is gone. The moon ain't shining. And how can they see me? John had on some night vision goggles. And he was telling the other guys where to shoot. I lied the first 4 or 5 times. They shot me. I didn't say nothing. You're supposed to go, you got me, I'm out of here. I said, man, that had to be an accident. And then after they shot me about 15 times, I realized it was an accident. And so I stood up and I said, okay, you got me. Bro, I was bumming me out. And then John would come over and we'd go out and eat and have some fellowship. And he'd come back, spend the night with me, and then the next day he'd fly home, him and the guys. And it was on one of those times that when we were talking and I was just asking John about those airplanes, And he told me about those that had been given and none had been given back to him, but he was just 4 or 5 years old back then when those planes had been given to his dad. And, of course, his dad fixed them up and gave them to two other pastors. Sounds just like him. Well, in this process, when we started with the Elite 16, I called Kenneth and I said, Kenneth, I said, you know, your partners that you speak to Monday through Friday on television, they're your partners. They're tuning in because they are partners. They love you. That's their teaching for the day. And so I would like to talk to partners and share it with them about the Elite 16. Because our goal was to reach 10,000 people who gave $2,000 each. Amen? Now, right now, if you have become an Elite 16 member, I want you to stand to your feet right now all over.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Wow. Wow, 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 wow. All right, guys, you can be seated for a moment, and thank you so much. I could see Kenneth looking at me, and when he gets that look that's looking right through you, I mean, you're standing there, but you're not, you know, like, hello. You look in there, there's nobody home, hello. That means he's hanging out with God right then. And he ain't thinking about earthly things. And we went in to pray. Every day we'd go into this little place and me and him would pray about the speaking about the Elite 16 on television. And that last day, right before we were fixing to go on air for the very first time, he just began to shake his head and hit the table. And he said, Mac, I can't do it. I said, what do you mean you can't do it? I said, it's your TVs. You bought and paid for them. They're yours. You can do what you want to with them. He said, you don't understand. He said, I made a promise to God that I'd never use this broadcast to get my needs met in any form or fashion. And I will not break my word or my covenant that I have made with my God. Well, that was it. I just want you to show and see a little of the integrity that goes on behind the scene. See, there was no TV there. There were no radio people, newspaper people. Oh, let's look at the real integrity of this man. Oh, we could have went on air, and I guarantee you within a couple of days we could have had all 10,000 members just like that. But because of high commitment, he was not going to do that because he was going to keep his promise to God. Now, folks, right there is where you see a man's heart. You talking about loving you partners? I've been there with him. My God, you talking about a twinkle getting his eye. You just start talking about Kenneth's partners because he shared just a little bit. I had some dental work done, and yesterday I didn't come into it about 6, a little operation there, and Dr. Roger is a very good friend of Harry Taylor, which is a good friend of Kenneth Copeland's. They played high school football together. Well, through Harry Taylor, his son came to Canaan, graduated. Now he's on staff at Canaan. And he introduced me to Dr. Roger Groves, which is probably one of the most sought-out dentists in the country about implant dentistry. And he's putting in them real special teeth. I forgot that kind of metal, but you can chase sharks with them. What is it? Huh? Titanium. Yeah, that's it. Thank you, brother. I feel you. That's right. Yeah, if I took out my little partial plate, I'd have a bunch of titanium hanging down. Scare the fire out of a shark. But anyway, I got the privilege of leading Dr. Roger Groves to the Lord. And then as it would be, several months later, he was over there in Alabama visiting. and he got the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. Now then, when we started this, there's not ever been a thought in my mind that this wasn't going to come to pass. And we already paid for the Citation 10. This Operation HD is the same thing. I want to give you the opportunity right now to learn what a word that I learned in the Navy. You need to move that, guys. It's a expedite. I was just working across the runway, and I was in a Jeep, and I came up, and you know, this is Jeep 2. I'm sitting here east of the runway. I need to cross over to the west side, and they'll come back, okay, operator 2, crossing, blah, blah, blah. And I'm half listening, and he says, Jeep 2, expedite right now. Well, I had stopped in the middle of the runway looking at some drawings and some work that I did about some of the jobs I was working on, and all of a sudden the voice said, expedite. I said, expedite. I go, what in the world is an expedite? I never heard of an expedite. Was it, is that short people? I don't know. I looked out, and when I did, there was a huge jet coming right at me. I went, ah, expedite. Man, I mean, that Jeep parked off all kind of rubber, and I peeled off, and I got on the other side, and I was going, thank you, Jesus. Well, that might not have been exactly what I said. But Jesus probably was mentioned. Right now, those of you that have not joined the Elite 16, it is a team, and the word team, T-E-A-M. And I don't know if we got the ability to do that on the big boards, but when you do that, T-E-A-M, it breaks down together, everyone achieves much. And that's what the Elite 6 team is. We're called together to be of one mind, to be one team, to help on operations that the man of God does. Where that came from is 2 Samuel 23:15, when David said, I would like some water. He longed for some water from the well over at Bethlehem. And it says three of the mighty men broke right then and left to go get that water. Now, they didn't get together with a committee meeting or a vote. They didn't get together and pray about it. When you know to do good, you just go do it right then. Right? That's like a little old lady trying to cross the street, and you're sitting there praying, should I help her? Lord, you get all religious there on the side of the street. You know, should I help this little old lady? And about that time, poof, you look up, and the truck doesn't run over the little old lady. While you're praying about what to do. You don't have to pray about doing good. Now listen, this is the way it works. Suppose God speaks to Kenneth Copeland and he says, hey, I need you to give $4 million to Reinhard Bunke, who's got a great work going over in Africa, and he needs your help right now. You need to send $4 million. What does he do? He calls the Elite 6 team. And now, each one of us just sends in $400. But that's an immediate $4 million to Kenneth Copeland to help the man of God out in Africa. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. That's what the team is all about. It's not going to be every time it's going to be something like that, but it's just going to work together when we all work. And I have been calling in that extra 5,000 people, and I have been calling the word expedite. And so if the word's been coming up in your head and you ain't understood what it was expedite. And you need to do that right now. I want everybody, this Brother Mac, I want to be a part of this team. We're gonna get that new high-definition equipment because I just saw a paper, Brother Kenneth showed me a paper where they put a deadline on this thing, and pretty soon when it happens, TVs are just going to go off because they've not switched over to high-definition. And all of a sudden, they're going to be watching TV, and it's over with. Well, they've got to move quickly and expedite to get our system all set up so that we can handle everybody else around the world. You understand that? those of you right now, and I pray that this would be one of the largest crowds ever for the Elite 16. If you have not, we're believing God for $1,500. Now, you may be like Sandra and I. We didn't have it all right at first, but we knew we was going to be a team member, and we just started sending it in as we could. And then finally, it got taken care of. But the neat thing is, the moment you give that first offering toward it, God's considered a done deal. And what leaves your hand just left heaven. Your seed left your hand, and your harvest just left heaven on the way to you. Now, we've got ushers that are ready that has that paperwork right now. They've got the envelopes. And so those of you that would like to become a part of the Elite 16, stand to your feet and come down here and expedite, get down to this altar. Guys, we need to wrap this thing up. I mean, I believe we can do it now if we just operate in it. Stand to your feet and come down right now. All of us, we're believing God for the 10,000 people. You can become a part of it. We need 5,000 more people that we're praying in right now. And that's some of you, expedite. You got to learn what that word is. That means you walk just a little faster. You got to realize I'm on an operated time up here. Hustle, hustle, hustle. All right, from everybody. That's right. They're coming from the balconies. We'll wait on you. Your friends will wait on you. Just come on down. Come down and get an envelope. I want you to plant your best seed today. And then stay with this and don't forsake the project till it's done. And together, we're going to get it done. I realized I couldn't do it by myself. And I asked God for help, and he showed it to me in 2 Samuel 23:15. And I know that I just have a feeling, oh, yep, Ken wants to say something. I'm getting a word right now. Hey, Brother Kenneth. Sorry, buddy. That was good about Bill Searcy getting saved, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
I'm sorry to talk
about it. But your explanation of why we were getting this equipment was the worst I've ever heard. But you're all right, Mac. It's going to work out, son. You just stay with it.
Well, shuckaroo.
This is from the USA Today. I just saw this a couple of days ago, and this is what's behind all this. 2 years ago, the government set an end date for the USA transition to all digital television systems. That means all the broadcasters in the United States. Broadcasters must have switched off their old signals by February the 18th, 2009. Now that's the part that's important to us, because we have to have digital equipment in place and in operation producing broadcast before that time takes place. And so that's what it's all about. Now, this article was talking about television sets. Most TV viewers are unaware of that. If they're cable or satellite subscribers, they needn't be concerned. But as many as 21 million households depend on analog sets and antennas. When the local broadcasters throw the switch, these TVs will go dark. Well, the thing that has to do with us, all of our cameras, we built our television truck. It was state of the art and still really good stuff. But it's several years old and it's all analog. Now, the signal that goes out from what we do now goes through equipment that makes it acceptable now. But that's what we're in the midst of believing God for. The money that we're talking about will be spent on a new truck, new cameras, and we'll build a new and very fine truck that is available not only to us but to the body of Christ. And it's part of our recording studio. We don't just use the truck just when we're out of town. You see these cameras and so forth. When we come in, that truck, that trailer is pulled into the studio itself and becomes part of the studio complex, and then the all the equipment in that truck and everything continues to be used then when we're doing television in the studio. So it's all part of that. And we're also believing God right now for a new television studio. So all of this are things that the Lord has put on the table in front of us, and our faith is on the line. And that now you know. Carry that newspaper around with you, and that way you'll.
Well, I repent. I repent to you a lot. I screwed up. I'm sorry.
Pray.
Yeah, listen. All right, guys. Hey, listen, you can still get up right now and expedite. You can expedite anytime. We're calling you in, so, you know, I'm sorry, raise your right hands. I just had a word from the Lord again. I'm getting that a lot lately. All right, you ready? Rolled up your right hand. All right, put your other hand over your heart. Hu Yah, Master Chief. That was weak as a kitten. Hu Yah, Master Chief. Let's try it one more time. Hu Yah, Master Chief. Kenneth Copeland. We are with great joy to join the Elite CX team right now and to help Operation HD High Definition TV come to pass. We will do this thing. We're under direct orders from God, because God has ordained the Elite CX team to do this, and we will do it. And any other projects that comes forth that is necessary, the Elite CX team, which I am proudly a part of, will complete those missions as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now, I can't stress to you enough, we're going to start getting more letters out to you. We're going to communicate better than ever. We had a meeting twice this week, and we're going to do a whole lot different, because I knew in my heart, sometimes it's real easy to not, you feel like, I don't know what's going on. But we're going to, I repented, and I repent again. But we're going to make it real clear about everything about involving the Elite CX team and what we're called for.
Amen.
And what we're called to do.
Praise
and that's to help
God.
This man and woman of God preach the gospel
God.
Around the globe.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise and thanksgiving. Mac, I not only appreciate what you're doing in this elite team, but I appreciate what you're doing in Canaan Land.
Amen.
The kind of product you're turning out up there is excellence. And I'm blessed because of it. Father, we give you praise and we thank you today. We worship you that these things are coming alive in us. We thank you for it. We're learning new spiritual strategies in the kingdom of God. You're leading us into areas where we've never been before. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
You may return to your seats if you'd like. Let's receive our morning offering. You may not be called to be a partner to this ministry or a part of the CX team, but God is blessing you here in this meeting, and you desire to be a part of that. And Father, we pray over the offering in the name of Jesus, and we give you praise for revealing to each and every one of us what our place is, what we're to do, the seed that we are to sow. And then we get our eyes on the Lord of the harvest. On the Lord of the harvest. Praise God. Thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you need an envelope for your offering this morning, raise your hand. The ushers will be glad to hand you that. And we just bless you and praise God for you. Thanks again, Mac. We love you, man. Lynn, would you go ahead and receive?